This is Digital Story Podcast number 649, August 21st, 2018. Today's theme is Inside Skylum, a visit with Scott Bourne. I'm Derek Story. Skylum Software, creators of Luminar and Aurora HDR, has established their U.S. headquarters in Bellevue, Washington. I stopped by there for a visit on my way to New York to talk with Scott Bourne, Alex T, and the rest of the Skylum team there. And I thought you might enjoy a peek behind the curtain. And that's the top story for today's TDS Photography Podcast. So at the moment, I'm on 35th Street in Midtown Manhattan, and recording this podcast there, you may hear the occasional something in the background. In fact, you'll hear something in the background all through the show, because the thing that I did a couple days ago was I sat down with Scott Bourne, president of Skylum Software, and you know, I kind of was rumbling around the headquarters there, and I liked the sound best in the atrium. So I said, Scott, let's just talk here in the atrium. And they had a little table and some chairs and stuff. So we did that right in the middle of all the hubbub going on there. And it's got a nice vibe to it. And I think you'll really enjoy the conversation with Scott. Now, before I get to that, before we get to Scott telling us what he thinks, I just wanted to say that, you know, the Luminar project in particular for me has been amazing from day one. Once I learned about the software, which was very early on, back in the Mac Fun days, I knew I wanted to be a part of this project because I like big things that are about to happen. Scott and I will talk about how we got on the ground floor of Aputure, and then I was one of the first guys to see an Olympus mirrorless camera in the U.S., and just on and on from there. And I really feel that the work that Skylum is doing falls into that category, especially with Luminar, but Aurora HDR as well. So from day one, I've been involved with them. I've been doing writing projects. I've, you know, helped them with many different things. And as they have continued to grow, I have continued to get more responsibilities with them. And so this all sort of culminated a few days ago when I took a plane from Santa Rosa up to Bellevue, Washington. And I was able to visit the unveiling of the new U.S. headquarters in Bellevue. And Scott took me around and showed me, you know, the main area there, the work area, the studio. They have a photography studio that's going to be open to anyone who is a Skylum customer. They have a big training room that I'm already thinking about, boy, what can I do in this training room? Because it will seat easily 40 people. And you have a photography studio right there in the training room. Come on, nice facility. They have a cafe that overlooks a lake. I mean, this is really a terrific place to do business. And so I was there early. Scott drove up right on time, 9 o'clock. And I said, you know, let's talk about, you know, your role with Skylum and, you know, what's going on here. Because I felt that a lot of people, even though they might be familiar with Luminar, even though they might be familiar with Aurora HDR, they don't really understand the company yet, the company that is Skylum Software. And that's what I wanted to introduce you to in this podcast, the company, and what better way to do that than talk to the number one advocate in the U.S. for the company and the president, Scott Bourne. So that's what we're going to do right now. So let's sit down. Let's talk with Scott for a few minutes, and then I'll jump back on. Hey, Scott, thanks for taking time out.
Happy to be here.
So I'm happy to be here. This is very exciting. We are in the new Skylum headquarters
for
the U.S.
For the United States, North America, Skylum Software, which is home-based in Ukraine, has been running an office for about 5 years in the United States in San Diego, but we've moved it up here to Bellevue, Washington. We're right in the hub of technology next to Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Expedia, Salesforce, Boeing, and it's a great place. It's a lot of energy. There's about 90 languages spoken in the area. We've got an incredible facility that I like to think it sort of feels like the Google campus. We've got a lot of stuff here for our customers, our employees, our vendors, and it's been a long time coming. It's been almost a year in the making. I've been working on this project for a year, and I really feel good about it.
What got you hooked here? Tell us, let's put a face on Skylum right now.
It's a great question, Derek, and it took a lot to get me out of retirement, mm-hmm. but Skylum is three words: great photography differently. The only way that I've stayed in this game so many years at age 64 is to constantly be evolving and looking for new things. So the real story here is that someone told me about Luminar, and I'd been using Photoshop since 92 or whenever, I can't even remember how far back. I've been using it for a long time, knew Thomas Knoll, John Knoll. You know, I'm good with it. I taught Photoshop, wrote the first book called Photoshop for Photographers, didn't have anything against it. You and I then jumped into Aperture, and we taught the world's first public aperture class together.
We did. We will always have that honor.
And I was in the first class of Aperture T3 trainers certified by Apple. I did a title with you or two at lynda.com. So we got a lot of aperture history. So we made that shift. And then so the other day, I got to thinking about my history with this company and how it happened. I had got a copy of Luminar and I started using it. And I thought, oh my God, this is incredible. It's just the way I've always done this, like I did with Aperture. When I started using Aperture, I forgot what I knew about Photoshop. Because you have to start over.
Right.
If you don't, you're not giving yourself a fair chance.
Right, because you're trying to make the old application work for the new application. And Luminar is a whole new mindset.
Yeah. So I just threw out everything I knew about Aperture and Photoshop and decided to dig into it. They have a lot of training materials. And I started posting my pictures to Twitter and Facebook and going, have you people seen this? I did this picture in 20 seconds. And what happened was the company founder, Dima Simtek, I may not have said his name right, I'm sorry, Dima, and Alex T, the CEO, said, hey, we're in the United States, because they're in Kiev, Ukraine. We're just meeting with photographers that use our software. We're wondering, we're going to be in Gig Harbor, we're going to stop by. Could we just meet with you for a few minutes and see what you like about the software? And I said, sure, come on over. Well, that turned into 2 days of meetings. And the next thing I know, they brought me on as a member of the board. And that lasted a couple of months, and then they came to me at PhotoPlus Expo and said, hey, we want you to be president of the company. And then they came to me a few months ago and said, hey, we want you to be president of the China operation too. I don't know what's going to happen in the next few months, but I eagerly said yes, Derek, because the real story here is, think about it, a photography software company that cares enough about photographers to pick a professional photographer to be the president. And I thought, that shows their heart. And at this stage of my life, what I really want to do is take the industry that's given me the lifeblood of my life, that's made me happy, and do something for it. And I want to do something to try to make photography accessible to everybody, not just the top guys at Photoshop World or the top guys at WPPI, but to everybody. And we have software products that run the gamut that are going to do that.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny how much of our conversation has been around that. It's just been around how can we make photography more accessible? How can we get people spending less time on their computer to get better results? And how can we just get them out and excited about photography and taking pictures and using their phone or their mirrorless or their DSLR? I mean, that has been the focus of the bulk of our conversations.
Well, you and I go back a long way, and you mentioned the other day that you remember me saying this years and years ago. I've always said it's been a hallmark of my career. It's the picture, not the process. If you make a great picture, the technology is not the conversation. The picture is the story. And I think we have lost some of that, Derek.
Yes, I totally agree. So, you know, I just think it's interesting that it's so easy to go down that rabbit hole of you know, the left side of the brain where you're just going, okay, you know, what aperture, what shutter speed, what all that kind of stuff, how sharp is your lens, all that sort of stuff. And that is a very time-consuming place to go. I want to have a great capture experience. In other words, I want to enjoy taking the picture, and then I want to improve it as quickly as possible, and then I want to get it in front of people.
Yeah, that's what we try to do. And the other thing I want to mention is, I know a lot of people who kind of get this furrowed brow when they open up Lightroom or Photoshop, because now they've got to kind of get their brain going. And call me crazy, but where I come from, photography is supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. And if it ain't fun, you ain't doing it right. Mm-hmm. And one thing I know about our software is it's fun.
It is.
It makes a lot of fun experiences for me just playing around, because we do presets, we do filters, and sometimes I actually riff off of those. Mm-hmm. And I'm usually a guy that pre-visualizes, and I do pre-visualize still, and I know what our software is capable of doing, and I shoot for that. But every once in a while, if I have a few extra minutes, I go, hey, here's an old picture, Let me bring it in here.
Oh, yeah.
And I took a picture the other day, 13-year-old picture that I made with an 8-megapixel camera that would be completely disrespected on the forums these days. That had a whopping 5 frames per second and, you know, wouldn't shoot in black light and still get you a good shot. And I played with some creative filters. We have this filter called the Orton effect. Mm-hmm. That picture, that can make any picture cool, mm-hmm. you know? And it kind of brought that picture back to life for me. And so every once in a while, I'll go do that and riff on a few photos and I'll repost them. And I go, wow, that was great. And, you know, that's just fun. And it helps you, like you said, something important. Sometimes photographers, we forget to be in the moment.
Yes.
You know, you're, oh, I went to Beijing. You shot the Olympics in Beijing. Yes. And you're like, you were in Beijing.
No.
You were in China.
And I'm pinching myself every day going, yeah. I got to make sure that I stay present in this moment.
Yeah, because that's not going to happen to you maybe again.
No.
You know, and I stand in Alaska and there's an eagle flying straight at me with a fish in its talon.
Yeah.
I got to take just a second to go, hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, now I get the picture. I mean, those moments can be actually recreated. It's almost like shooting in RAW. We can reprocess them in mm-hmm. our brain by going into software and doing it. But more importantly, there are a lot of people, Derek, that don't have the time, the money, or the interest to spend 6 months becoming a Photoshop wizard.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have a few minutes to make the pictures of their last vacation or the grandkid look good. And I want to be there for them too. And by the way, there's a lot more of them than there are pros.
Yeah, and this actually leads into something that you and I talked about yesterday that I thought was fascinating, which is this idea about presets. And that, you know, some people, like, for instance, Luminar presets are amazing. And some people kind of poo-poo them. And I almost feel like it's, why? Because you get fantastic results in just one click. There's something wrong with that. And not to mention that you can learn how those presets were designed by looking in the right panel. And then you told me you use them all the time.
Pros use presets, mm-hmm. period. That's not a, got a lot of P's in it, but it's true. Pros use presets, period, because we're about saving time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what my work looks like. I shoot consistently, which is another hallmark of a pro.
I'm not wondering
what the result's going to be. I know what the result's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 3 presets I've created of my own based on my own work. And I use them all day. And they're based on some original presets we had in Luminar. And you mentioned a couple of cool things. All of our presets, unlike some other software presets, are fully customizable.
Yes.
You can strip things out of them, add things into them, change their values, change the opacity of each filter within the preset. And something that is mind-blowing, that nobody else can do but us, you can stack a preset on top of a preset, on top of a preset, ad nauseum. And it's incredible. Again, everything is fully customizable, and if you save it as a Luminar file, guess what? It's all non-destructive.
Yeah.
And more importantly, everything that you did, unlike in some other software, in the history palette, is still there.
Yeah.
Once you close out Photoshop, for instance, your history palette's gone. You open the photo, the history's gone. You open the photo in Luminar that you saved in Luminar, the history's right back, and you can literally go right back to any of those points in history. We've got all kinds of things that we can do that they can't do, and yes, they've got things they can do that we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I tell people, maybe the best solution for you is to use both, because here's the deal. They're like $60, and you own it forever. The other guys, you got to pay rent for the rest of your natural life.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the risk if you buy it from us and then you use 3 of our filters? It makes your life better. It's worth the money.
Yeah, and especially as Luminar continues to evolve, you know, we know that there's going to be a digital asset manager. You've been very involved in that.
I have a copy of it on my computer, but it's not quite done.
Exactly. We know that they're continuing to work on these fantastic algorithms for, you know, AI. We know that these things are going to change, and you can jump on board anytime.
Yeah.
And start using it right now in your workflow. You can use it with Lightroom. You can use it with photos from macOS.
Photoshop.
Not a problem.
It's available.
It doesn't have to be, and this is funny, photographers get caught up in this. It doesn't have to be an either or world, you know? It can be a world where we use whatever we want, whenever we want.
I don't just shoot black and white film. I shoot color film too, I'm radical.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Listen, the world is not about scarcity. We've kind of proven that with the internet.
Mm-hmm.
The world is about abundance. You simply gotta go collect it.
Mm-hmm.
We can use all of these programs together. Take the best parts, get what you need. But I tell you what, I got a couple of filters that I couldn't live without, and if that's all we had, I would have bought Luminar.
Yeah.
You know, Orton effect is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I like the sun filter because you can move the sun around. It's got to be used tastefully, but you know, we have the new matte filter that's relatively new, that's incredible, the details extractor.
Would you talk about that for a minute? Because
you're gonna make me give up my secret.
I'm gonna make you give up your secret because you gave it to me and it really changed my workflow. So if you don't mind sharing the secret, it's a good one.
Well, if you look at my stuff online, the comments are frequently along the lines, that's the sharpest photo I've ever seen. Which always gives me a chuckle because here we go, here's the secret. I don't use any sharpening. That's right, I don't use any sharpening. I use our details extractor. Mm-hmm. And it has the net effect of making it look sharper. And all I care about, because once again, it's not the process, it's the picture. I don't care what process you use, I just want people to think the picture's sharp. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of tricks I found using our software, which required a new way of thinking. And here's the question for everybody. Can you open your mind to a new idea or not? Mm-hmm. If you can, your life's gonna be better in every respect, not just photography. And maybe you try a kind of food you've never tried before and you end up liking it. I mean, maybe you listen to some music you've never heard before, you like it. The world is full of opportunity. And as I get older, I realize just how big it is and how much of it there is. And I don't want to lose a second of it. I want it all.
Right. And you know, so we were, another thing we've been talking about, we both use Olympus cameras.
Yeah.
And people are going, well, you know, don't you feel like you have to use full frame in order to make a, you know, whatever, a 13 by 19 or 16 by 20 enlargement? So you do not shoot full frame, you shoot with Olympus.
Micro Four Thirds.
So Scott, are you just making 5x7s?
Well, you've been in our new office and there are several 4 footprints in there, but that's kind of small for me, Dave. Photo Plus in New York City in Javits Center, last October, Olympus had my prints 6 feet by 9 feet. Because the prints were on the back of the Olympus booth, which is the front of the show, you can see those prints all the way back to the back of the show floor, 6 feet by 9 feet. And what's really funny is I got into a discussion with a guy who watched my presentation at the Olympus booth. He goes, you know, I'd switch to that Micro Four Thirds because it's lighter, but I print kind of big and I'm just not sure. And I said, you print big, do you? And he goes, yeah. And I said, so what's a big print for you? He goes, you know, I might go 20 by 30. I said, do me a favor, just look up. Those are from my camera. Those are 6 feet by 9 feet. He goes, wow. You know, so listen, the internet will tell you that everything you're doing is wrong if you let them. Mm-hmm. I turn off the internet and I do what I do and mm-hmm. it works. So whether it's our software or another camera or another kind of tripod or something completely brand new that you think of on your own, photography is supposed to be fun, it's supposed to be about expressing your story, and the process should get out of the way. And what I like about our software, Derek, is I want it to be so fun, fast, and easy that it's the smallest part of what you do to get the biggest part of your result.
I think that's great. And you know, and the thing about it, you know, even since I've been here, I've had to turn around shots quickly, you know, because we've been kind of shooting as we go and stuff. And it just saved my bacon, you know, to be able to sit down for 5 minutes and take care of 10 shots and then have them ready to send to you, have them ready to post online, have them ready to do all that sort of stuff. I mean, that makes my life, you know, that makes me available to work with my team and to do other stuff instead of saying, no, I got to be here another half hour, yeah. You know, on these shots. It just fits into my life.
I actually was at a workshop once where they're like, hey, we're going to go shoot the sunset. And I can't. I'm still processing my images from this morning. I'm like, you know, that'll wait. There's a sunset here and you're in Alaska. I mean, people got to get their priorities straight. I mean, listen, if you just love sitting in front of a computer 8 hours a day, mm-hmm. we may not be the best choice mm-hmm. for you. I'm okay with that. But I'm doing everything I can to represent the photographer, Derek. When I took this job, I made it clear, abundantly so, that I would not take this job unless they let me be the advocate for our customers first. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the reasons, for instance, when you buy our products, you buy them. It's a buyout.
Yeah.
I heard loud and clear what people said about the rent-to-own model. We'll never do it, not as long as I'm president of the company. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. If we're doing it, that means I'm no longer here. We're not going to do it. It's simply not going to happen. We're going to try to take the side of the photographers. We do lots of free updates every year. We got tons of free training, free presets. We're doing something radical here in Bellevue. We have a photography studio that is fully stocked, and you've been in it. It's pretty nice.
I have. It's nice.
It's not a, like, chintzy little home studio.
No. It's nice. I'd love to transport it to my space in Santa Rosa.
Yeah. If you bring your camera, it's a serious place. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Skylum customer, you'll register on our website. This is going to start in September. And if you can get here to Bellevue, you're welcome to use the studio for an hour. And if there's nobody after you, you can use it for a second hour, and it's free of charge. We're letting people use our professional photography studio free of charge. We're dedicated to helping photographers. We want to elevate the entire photography industry. And we're not stupid. We know if we do that, we'll elevate our business. But the goal is to start that way.
Right, exactly. So this has been great. This is exactly the conversation I wanted to have, Scott. I know I got to let you get back to work. We got a lot of people that want to talk to you, but thanks for taking time out. And, thanks for having me here. I really appreciate it.
We're grateful to have your help.
Yeah, all right. Thanks so much, Scott. I really appreciated you sitting down and spending some time with me about this, and all of us, really. So what else I'm going to do is I'm going to run some shots that I took, some pictures from the new headquarters, and those will be in the show notes. So, make sure that you hop over to the show notes, take a look at the pictures. I hope you enjoyed the talk with Scott. Obviously, especially as the digital asset manager is released, we're going to be talking a lot more about Luminar. There's a new version of Aurora HDR coming out. Lots going on with these guys, and I promise I'll keep you posted. Lexar memory cards are coming back from the dead. And this is via Petapixel. Let me just read you what they wrote, and then I'll comment on it. Back in June 2017, Micron announced that it would be discontinuing its entire Lexar removable storage business that included memory cards, readers, flash drives, storage drives, and more. A few months later, a Chinese company swooped in and acquired the brand, Longsys. And now they say that Lexar will be returning from the grave. Lexar announced this week that it's resuming full production of its products and will begin shipping to major retailers again this fall. The product lineup will include memory cards, card readers, solid-state drives, and USB flash drives geared toward professional photographers and other creators. Now, I think this is interesting because if you listen to my interview with Wes Brewer, the CEO for Prograde Digital, and that was back in June, we actually talked about this because Wes did a great job of just talking about the industry as a whole. And, I asked him about Lexar, and is Lexar gone forever? And, what's happening with all this? And he mentioned this buy by the Chinese company. And he also mentioned, as I recall, that he suspected that they would be bringing Lexar back. So now this is coming to fruition, as pointed out by Petapixel here. But the part that really kind of piqued my curiosity when I read the Petapixel story is that we're talking about at professional level. They are going to introduce professional level memory cards and readers and so forth, which is exactly where Prograde has positioned itself. And I'm just kind of curious to see how this is all going to shake out. I don't know how many former Lexar employees and especially designers and engineers. So it's going to be fun to watch this. I mean, as a consumer, I think it's really fascinating. I'm sure Prograde has their own view about it. And just all in all, just like we have this battle heating up between Canon and Nikon and Sony in the full frame camera space, I feel like we've got on a different level another battle heating up with the return of Lexar to the professional level removable storage business. So interesting story, and obviously there's going to be more to report on this as well. Follow up to, do you have a film camera that needs a good home? So this was interesting that I brought this up last week. I like to mention once a month or so about the film camera shop on Etsy that I run, where I refurbish film cameras and then I put them in the shop and get them to people who are so happy to have them. I really like that end of it. And it's interesting, before I even get to the main point of this story, but I'll just tell you, I have such interesting conversations with customers at the film camera shop. Some of them are buying a film camera for the first time. Maybe they're taking a college course on photography where they need a film camera, or maybe something has piqued their curiosity about analog photography and they have questions. They have basic questions like, will this camera accept black and white film? things like that. So, you know, there's a lot of enthusiasm, there are a lot of questions, and it's really interesting to deal with customers on that side of it, and I'm having a lot of fun. But I'm also having a lot of fun dealing with our members who are donating cameras to this. And so last week, Marshall heard the story, and hi Marshall, if you're listening this week as well. He heard the story, and he had one camera, he had a Canon Rebel, I believe, that he wanted to donate to the shop, and I said, fantastic. A lot of student photographers like the Canon Rebels, and it would be great. And then he's going, but I'm digging around, and he found a Tamron lens for it, and then I believe he found a Canon T70 bouncing around. He goes, hang on, let me take a look at that. So he's looking at that, and he found the T70, and then he found a Vivitar zoom. And then he even found some a roll of Kodak Gold 200 24 exposure film. He says it wasn't refrigerated, but I'm going to put it in the box anyway. And so we had this conversation going on for over the week, and I just thought it was a blast. And you know, that part of it is fun for me also, which is interacting with those of you that are, you know, digging up this analog gear and pulling it together and then shipping it off. And then, you know, I see the whole thing, right? I see the full circle. And then, you know, so I'll get it cleaned up and operating. And then someone will have a bunch of questions about it when they see it in the film camera shop. And then I'll have another conversation with them about it. So it just sort of blows my mind, because these items that weren't seeing the light of day for the longest period of time, and I'm talking about the film cameras and the lenses that go on them, weren't seeing the light of day for the longest period of time, and now all of a sudden they are the topic of the conversations with multiple people who are enthused at one level or another about these items. And so it's a lot of fun. So I just wanted to do that follow-up this week. And if you're interested in getting some of the analog gear that you have stashed around the house into the hands of people who are really going to have a lot of fun with it and be very enthusiastic, just use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer. That's thenimblephotographer.com. You'll see contact right up there. Just go ahead, drop me a note. Of course, I have the link to the contact form in the show notes, where I have links to everything that I talk about in this show. And then we'll pick it up from there and, you know, figure out how to get the stuff over to me so I can work on it. And a big thanks to Marshall. Marshall, I really enjoyed conversing with you this week, and the Easter egg hunt that you did to find this gear, a lot of fun, and totally appreciate you boxing it up and sending it over to me. Okay, just a few more updates from the Renaissance Hotel here in Manhattan on 35th Street. By the way, I had a bagel this morning. Of course, I like to have, you know, on Sunday I'm in Midtown, have a bagel sandwich for breakfast. And my boy, who's been here all summer on his internship, I'm actually helping him move back home. He took me to his favorite bagel place this morning, Zach did. And so we did the whole Midtown thing where we stood in line and ordered, I had an onion bagel with egg and a little bit of ham on there. Really good. And you know, a million people, and you know, they turn it around quickly. It was just a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun. And right now it's not too hot. It's rain came in, kind of cooled things off, freshened things up a bit. And then this afternoon, after I finish my work here, we're gonna go over, and I'm gonna go to my first Yankees game. I believe they're playing the Toronto Blue Jays. So I'm gonna go to the Yankees game for the first time. I've never been to the new park, and really looking forward to that. I guess I better wrap this up. So a big thanks to all of our Patreon members. I hope you all enjoyed my hands-on video that I posted last week, comparing the new Panasonic TS7 with the Olympus Tough camera. It was fun doing that video. I like doing the little videos to mix those in with the training stuff. And so that was available to all our Patreon members. If you are an Inner Circle member and you haven't seen it yet, make sure you go over and take a look at it, especially if you're thinking about getting an adventure camera for an upcoming trip. Both of these cameras are very good, but they definitely have their different personalities, and that's what I talk about and show you in the video. Our Patreon members, so important to us, and thank you so much, Patreon members, for standing behind the show. If you want to help support The Digital Story, then all you have to do is go to thedigitalstory.com. Just click on the Patreon tile. It'll be right there on the right-hand column. And go over there. You'll see our site. We have our own site. And we have public posts. And then, of course, I have the posts just for the Inner Circle members there. But you can really get a feel for what we're doing. It's a nice community that's within our larger Digital Story community. And I'm really enjoying the interactions and the folks that are there really helping keep the show on the air. Big thanks to all of our Patreon members. And a big thanks to Red River Paper. I know I've just been going crazy talking about their new paper stock, the Polar Luster Metallic. Oh my gosh, this stuff is so much fun. And I'm shooting some stuff here in New York that I think is going to look really nice on that paper. So once I get back in town, I'm going to fire up the Pro 100 that I'm also having fun with, run some of that Polar Metallic through it. And I'm hoping to get some good shots today over at Yankee Stadium. Just some, you know, just kind of some, you know, good people stuff attending a baseball game in the summer, you know, that kind of stuff. I think it'll be fun, and hopefully I'll get something that I can print up on this Polar Metallic. Big thanks to Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of our podcast. They have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. Take you over to our landing page there. And of course, they have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Alrighty, that is going to do it for me. I'm gonna put on my baseball cap. In my case, I'm gonna put on my Nimble Photographer baseball cap. I'm just gonna go as a fan, enjoy the game, have a beer, see what the food's like there, and hopefully maybe see a home run or two. I'll be back in the studio next week, and look forward to talking to you then, working on some good stories. Have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.